Queer.
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 Feasting in the studio right now. It's one of those lovely little voices you heard at the end where it was a bit like, you know, everyone's tripping over each other to talk to each other in the studio. That James Halloran was recorded almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That Queer Radio ID, because that's when Emma and the Hungry Truthful, which you are a part of, released The Hungry Truthful Feast on You.
It's true.
Welcome back into the studio. Good
Thank
to see you,
Blair.
Again.
Good to see you too.
And congratulations on releasing a single which I know you have been laboring over for a long time, because when you played last year for us in Electro Pop Shop, you were talking about, well, we're at this stage and this stage and the next stage and this stage.
Yeah.
It really has almost been like giving birth.
Well, definitely.
9 month gestation.
Even, you know, I remember that 2 years ago when we recorded that with Emma. That was about the time I wrote the song. So
so the song's even got an older history than that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the song, like, it was around that exact time, because I remember the person that it's about, I met like two... No, they were listening to that recording and that interview. So they were listening to that interview, and I remember being like, I just started seeing them. So there you go.
So, okay, the song is called Deciduous Boy.
Yes.
And we're finishing winter here for those who are listening in the Northern Hemisphere. So so we're not deciduousing at all down here. We're going the other way. But it's a lovely image for this person. So you've written a song 100% about someone who shafted you in the worst way possible. Yeah. A lover who turned out to be the person that you just did not want to be around.
Yes, definitely.
How is he feeling about the lyrics in Deciduous Boy?
Oh, I have no fucking idea. You know, I think after what happened, the next day I was like, nah. And so I left.
Wow.
Never spoke to him again. Actually, no, I did. Ah. I made him the next day or a week later. I had to return some of his things, but I made him buy me lunch. And then I never spoke to him again.
Hofty.
Yeah.
Lauren Mabry, who is the lead singer and one of the writers for all of Church's songs, Lauren talks about, particularly their most recent album, Every Open Eye, how many of the songs are about her past relationships, and saying that quite a few of them are a bit like, oh, why are you writing about like that? And she said, and the others, I have no idea what they think, and I really don't care.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's more
it's
in the
just
latter.
What I'm writing. I'm yeah, just totally. Writing that stuff because it comes out. So was it cathartic?
Oh yeah, that the purpose of the song was therapy. Like for me, totally, it was like, it was a bit too raw for me to actually process in like a, I'm going to make art of this and like actually go through what I was feeling. So it ended up being like a more fuck you on the surface, like still angry, wasn't quite ready to set in into what had actually been on and what happened. It was just like, I need to get this out. And it actually had to be very happy, because if it wasn't happy, I it was going to be
you would have been
destroyed.
More, yeah. My favorite story about recording songs or writing and recording songs, which are the fuck you songs to past lovers. Fergal Sharkey, who had two hits in the mid-80s with A Good Heart and then his follow-up song, You Little Thief. Those two songs were written by two American songwriters about each other.
That's amazing.
Maria McKee wrote the song A Good Heart after her relationship with the person who I can never remember. And then he wrote You Little Thief about her. So, and then Fergal Sharkey records both of them and releases them one after each other.
It's perfect.
So that, you know, so, you know, putting their relationship out on there. And we know by... I can mention Madonna now.
Now that Darcy's not
without
here.
Without Darcy being here, Sam, without making remarks about senior citizens and Zimmer frames.
I could make remarks in a different location, but go ahead.
No.
Go ahead.
But Madonna, you know, she's literally laid out earlier on her whole life with Sean Penn.
Yeah.
And now the last two albums have been unpacking her marriage to Guy Ritchie. And you're hearing going, oh, how much more of the therapy do we have to hear, Madge?
I think it gets to a point, it's one of those things where it's like, it's nice to know the story, but for the most part, it's like, the way I like to write is I like to write in a way that people don't need to know the story either. You know, it's...
Yeah.
It's one of those things where sometimes it can be too much. And most of the time, I don't write about specific events. This was a very much like a rarity for me.
Sure. You know? And your EP, Him.
Yeah.
Well, who is Him? H-I-M.
Him is like an amalgamation of a bunch of different things. It's kind of a calling in a way to that cosmic lover, that person.
Okay,
that,
right.
That, and not even person, like spiritually.
The ephemeral of sorts.
Yeah, yeah. It's that feeling.
The essence.
And I noticed this recently. Every lover I've ever had, there's actually an essence of the same thing in all of them.
Okay.
And that's what the EP is about. It's about him in the terms of
we're going to essence. Unpack yeah. more about him in about 6 weeks' time when the launch is on. So I want to keep something back for that. There is going to be a big launch, and we've got we're asking Sam to put that link up as well, because okay. you do want people to book in now, because yeah. it's going to be at New Globe and it will sell out, it'll fill up.
Mm.
And you get a chance to see Deciduous Boy on the big screen. And it really deserves it. So you can certainly watch the video. You can watch it now if you like. But it's kind of disturbing.
Yeah, it is a bit.
There's a bit of James Halloran does Ophelia from Shakespeare's Hamlet. Yeah, there's cool. a bit of... I don't know. There's a bit of... The draftsman from Peter Greenaway's The Draftsman's Contract there as well.
That's amazing. I love that comparison.
And there's you, but I'm not giving it away, because the last couple of minutes, the last minute is... And I notice also, you talk about themes running through things, just playing The Hungry Truth Will Feast on You. The video for that is all set around an opulent table with lots of opulent food in it. Well, there's food and people eating and drinking in this video too.
Yeah, totally.
So is that your leitmotif?
Well, look, it wasn't intentional at all. I actually noticed this recently. I looked back and I was watching it and I was like, and maybe it was just a subconscious thing that was going on. But, you know, I'm very Epicurean.
Oh, feast. Very nice. Feast is
I love the idea. Wine, Dionysus, feast, and ooh. Sex, and, you know.
A lot of that also comes from your background. You were part of the Zen Zen Zo troupe, and you yeah. learned a lot about the very physicality and the grounding. Having seen Zen Zen Zo's work over the years, one thing I've always been marvel at is the nature of the grounding of the actors yeah. on the stage. And the actors are just more than actors, because you are performers, your movements, your dance, your music, use your voice in all ranges and all styles, but you're very grounded onto the stage. So with this song Deciduous Boy, which is a bit of a flight of fancy, what's the grounding in Deciduous Boy for you as a performer?
Well, for me, the song in general is a reclaiming of power. So it was about me taking back power from a situation, and that just felt very... It was allowing me to come back into my body and declare that it went the way I wanted it to go.
Excellent. Well, James, thanks for coming in tonight.
Thank you very much.
You look great. And I do know that you... Well, I suppose the other great person who writes songs about exes is Tay-Tay.
yes.
Your current... You have a current partner at the moment. Yep. Is he a bit worried that he'll end up as a heartbroken love song?
Oh, not at all. I think he'd cherish it.
Are you listening? What's your partner's name?
Theo.
Theo.
F-I-O.
Theo.
Yeah.
Theo, you will not end up as the Tay-Tay of Brisbane's next hit single. There you go. He'll probably write long-term love songs that go on forever and ever. and like our friend Tom Goss does in the USA. Tom writes love songs about his husband Mike, and Mike and he are probably going to be, they've been together for about 10 years and I'm pretty sure they'll be together for another 50. So I can't see those two ever ending. We're going to play Deciduous Boy. This will be its first radio airplay in Australia, if not the world. And it has a very jaunty sound to it, which, as you've said, is a little different to the EP. And I was trying to pick it. I'm going, yeah, there's some Tori Amos in there. There's a bit of Beatles in there. And then it occurred to me while I was sitting here in the studio about half an hour ago, it's Mika. It's the first Mika album. It has a lot of that sound. So were you inspired by Mika in any way?
I think unintentionally and subconsciously. Like I love Mika as a singer and a songwriter. Never actively listened to him. But I did get that a lot. And my producer, we were talking about that. And we were talking about...
Who produced?
Nick O'Donnell. He's Nick O'Donnell, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it and we were talking about where to place this song because it was just a piano track. And then we discussed Mika, and it was like, I think that's the direction this pop song has to go. Yeah.
So we have this jaunty song about a boy who really is a nasty piece of work, and deciduous meaning he just flits from one to the other, drops this season, drops that one, and wait until you see the video. Thank you very much, James. We'll see you soon to discuss the EP.
Yes.